And now for reading and writing and radio.
The mole had been working very hard all morning, spring cleaning his little home. First with brooms, then with dusters, then on ladders and steps and chairs. With a brush of whitewash, till he had dust in his throat and eyes, and splashes of whitewash all over his black fur, and an aching back and weary arms. Spring was moving in the air above and in the earth below and around him, penetrating even his dark and lowly little house, with its spirit of divine and discontent and longing. It was a small wonder then that he suddenly flung down his brush on the floor, said, "Bother," and "Oh, blow," and also, "Hang spring cleaning," and bolted out of the house without even waiting to put on his coat.
The author of Mole's Impulsive Action was Kenneth Graham, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
The Wind in the Willows starts with an act of impulse by Moley. One definition of impulse, I think, could be doing something without even waiting to put on your coat. Jason Kendall, Noel Kendall, and Demi Jackson and I are going to talk about impulse today. Demi, you like the next part of The Wind in the Willows after Mole scrabbles and scrooches and scrapes and scratches and gets up into the spring meadow. What does he do next, and what's that got to do with impulse?
Well, he goes running along the hedgerow, and he sees all the rabbits still cleaning out their houses, and he jeers at them. He calls them onion sauce, and it just makes...
Onion sauce!
It just makes so much sense, because as soon as you've gotten yourself out of a pattern, you're in a perfect position just to see how everyone else is stuck in their own little roles and can't see beyond the ends of their noses.
So there's a kind of... scorn and joyfulness at the same time when you're acting on impulse towards those that aren't.
Right, you feel set apart from the rest of the world.
And such was Mole's impulse that he doesn't return to his own home until the following Christmas, and then only for a visit with his friend Ratty. There's another impulsive character, really much more so than Mole, if you discount that first impulsive action of Mole's, and that's Toad. He has crazes and manias, first for boat travel and then for travel in a horse and cart, and then he sees his first motor car and he goes absolutely bonkers, I guess the British would say, about motor cars. Mm-hmm. And Demi, why don't you read this passage? Here's Toad looking at a motor car in a courtyard. Yeah.
Okay. The car stood in the middle of the yard, quite unattended, the table helps and other hangers-on being all at their dinner. Toad walked slowly round it, inspecting, criticizing, musing deeply. "I wonder," he said to himself presently, "I wonder if this sort of car starts easily." Next moment, hardly knowing how it came about, he found he had hold of the handle and was turning it. As the familiar sound broke forth, the old passion seized on Toad and completely mastered him, body and soul. As if in a dream, he found himself, somehow, seated in the driver's seat. As if in a dream, he pulled the lever and swung the car round the yard and out through the archway. And as if in a dream, all sense of right and wrong, all fear of obvious consequences, seemed temporarily suspended. He increased his pace, and as the car devoured the street and leapt forth on the high road through the open country, he was only conscious that he was Toad once more, Toad at his best and highest, Toad the Terror, the Traffic Queller, the Lord of the Lone Trail, before whom all must give way or be smitten into nothingness and everlasting night. He chanted as he flew, and the car responded with sonorous drone. The miles were eaten up under him as he sped he knew not whither, fulfilling his instincts, living his hour, reckless of what might come to him.
I think there's a couple of important phrases and words in there about impulse. One is, all thought of consequences seems temporarily suspended. That when you act on an impulse, it's almost as if hang the consequences. And then the very last line talked about recklessness. And I guess those two go together, that if you're hanging the consequences, that that you have a reckless feel mm-hmm. about it. Why don't we try to define what an impulse is, and then maybe we can discuss what are the various different sorts of impulses, if there are more than one. What is an impulse? Jason, you got an idea what an impulse is?
Well, I'd say it's a thing you do without even thinking about it.
You just sort of do it, right?
Yeah.
Just sort of happens. Mm-hmm. You haven't made any choice to do it. You haven't even thought about it. And when it happens, you surprise yourself that you've done it. I got the sense of surprise in Mole there when he got the car going. He surprised himself.
Without hardly even knowing how it happened.
Without Mole. Hardly even knowing.
Toad, yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of it, isn't it? To not know that mm-hmm. That you've even taken that first step in that direction.
Yeah, I guess. You haven't really thought it out.
And then you find yourself there, and if it's fun, you can keep right on doing it. But if it's not, then you most likely try to retrieve yourself from an embarrassing situation.
And sometimes that's not so easy.
No.
Well, we'll be honing up that definition as we go along as to what an impulse is. Maybe what we could do now is discuss what sorts of impulses there are, because in talking ahead of the program, we were beginning to realize that there were various sorts of impulses. Mm-hmm. What are some of the sorts of impulses?
Well, we could have nice impulses.
Well, let's see if we can describe one as we go along. What would be a nice impulse? Anybody got a nice impulse story?
Can't think of one.
Well, you could. I've had this happen to me nicely, and I've done other things for people that are nice. A nice impulse for a spouse to do for another spouse is to bring home something, a present or a gift, which is not even expected. It's not a birthday, and it's not a holiday, mm-hmm. and it's not a special day, but it becomes a special day. Because they have the impulse to bring flowers or to make some special plan mm-hmm. for something.
And well, kids going to school, too. You mentioned kindergartners bringing bunches of tulips to their teachers.
Oh, but, yes. That's a nice impulse to stop and pick up flowers from a neighbor's.
It's a little hard on the neighbors, but it's a nice impulse. Well, what are some other reasons behind the impulses? Jason says you do something without thinking. But there's motivation. Motivation means what makes you do it. Does an impulse just come out of the blue? A desire to be nice? What other?
Jason's big brother Damon loves him so much. In fact, he said he loves him so much that he can't walk by him without the impulse to pick him up and dump him on his head and tickle him to death.
Well, what sort of an impulse would you call that?
That's a teasing impulse, isn't it? Generated from love.
Maybe.
Done with a lot of love. So we can have those kinds of impulses too, impulses that are done out of goodness and really for good reasons, but you don't know why it is you're doing that particular one.
I think there's some mean impulses, aren't there?
Yes.
Have you ever obeyed a mean impulse, Jason? You say it sort of ruefully.
Yes,
Got a story you would care to tell us?
Well, I have one that a friend that moved away. I don't think I should tell his name. Well,
tell the story without his name.
He and his little brother, he was sitting there, and I was mad at him for the day.
Can you talk a little louder?
I was mad at him because he did something, and I can't remember what it was, but I had my cowboy boots on, and he came up to the door asking if he wanted to play, but he forgot about that, but I hadn't. He opened up the door, and I kicked him in the face.
That's
well,
very mean.
That was a mean impulse.
Do you remember the one thing that
well,
his
let me ask him
did
first, brother. Let me
well,
ask. Go on, Jason.
I was thinking of the other time they came over to play. They came over to play often.
Yes, they
and
did.
And they rang the doorbell, and they stood there very politely and said, "Can Jason come out and play?" And Sean stepped out behind and said, "I have a new bike I'm riding." And that's true. Sean had his new bike, and he had shoes, and he had socks on, and he had a shirt on, and he had a hat on, and he had his new bike, and that's all he had on. He was so excited to show off his new bike, he hadn't completely dressed himself.
Well, no, wait, I didn't quite follow that. You mean his major part of his clothes were gone?
The major part, yes. He was dressing himself, but his new bike had arrived, and he was so excited about showing his new bike, he had not finished dressing himself. So that was a funny one, but that wasn't a mean one.
I know.
So maybe it was an impulse that he zoomed over to show Jason.
That's exactly what it was. That was a, but a mean impulse. Oh, my.
Well, I've thought of frustration impulses, where, in a sense, this is what was happening to Molly when he was working, and he suddenly decided to hang it all and go outside into the spring air. And one of my favorite impulse stories was from a friend of mine who was at Chicago's O'Hare Airport last winter, just when it was being forced to close, and the place was absolute bedlam with stranded travelers, and Irwin was standing in a line in front of a phone booth that was about 40 people long. And a loudspeaker came on and said, "If there's anyone here who wants to go to Hawaii, come to such and such a counter. We've got a plane that's leaving in 15 minutes, and it's only half full on account of no-shows." And the man ahead of Irwin turned to the guy that was standing with him, and he said, "I'm going to go to Hawaii." And the friend said, "You can't. What about that big meeting that we've got on Tuesday?" And the other fellow said, "To hell with that meeting. I'm sick to death of this weather." And started to leave the line. And the other friend grabbed at him, and he says, "But what about your wife?" And the fellow says, "I'll wire her to join me." And he strode away with the friend following him, still protesting. And they were lost in the crowd. And a couple of minutes later, the loudspeaker came on again, and it said, "Don't anyone come to our ticket desk. The plane to Hawaii is now full, and we're taking off in 5 minutes." And I heard that story with tremendous glee. You know, what a marvelous scene. You know, picture all those people jostling at the ticket desk, all eager to get away from the awful winter that was going on in the Midwest. And then picture that airplane half filled with people who had no intention of going to Hawaii and who are suddenly on their way to Hawaii, acting on a perfect impulse. They don't have any proper luggage, and they don't have any reservations, and they don't have either the time or, you know, they couldn't get to a phone to let anybody know. And then think of what it would be like on the plane, you know, what reckless camaraderie and what laughing and joking and comparing of notes and stranger talking to stranger, you know, why did you come? And then some of them, I think, would be very glad they did it and never regret it for a minute. But I would bet that there were other people on that airplane that after a little while would begin having second thoughts and would be thinking, well, I really forgot all about that particular job or that responsibility, or so-and-so is going to have a birthday next week, or I promised that I'd do this and now I'm not going to be there. And I would guess that some might have regretted that impulsive action. And I've thought that that would be a terrific book to take, say, five or six of those people that acted impulsively and follow them onto that plane to Hawaii and see what happened. So I would figure that would be a frustration impulse. Mm-hmm. How about other sorts of impulses?
Well, a revenge impulse.
Yeah, others.
Where you act on something because you just feel that you have, that it's an, it really is an act of revenge, and you impulsively do it. It would be kind of like a mean one, wouldn't it? To be revengeful?
Probably.
Right.
How about a boredom impulse?
Yeah, well, you just sit down writing away and writing away and writing at your desk, and all of a sudden you go, "Yahoo!" And just scream out because you are so bored.
Yeah.
And you go back and write again very quietly. Right?
I feel I've been the victim of impulse occasionally. A couple of strong memories from my childhood. I was innocently sitting on the steps with my sister Patty, and she leaned over and bit me for no reason at all. Well, I don't know. It was just an impulse on her part, I guess. And then I was standing on a flat roof on our farm with my brother Craig, and all of a sudden Craig just pushed me off the roof, and I fell in the middle of a lilac bush. I was scratched up, but I wasn't hurt. And I figured that those were impulses.
Well, yeah.
Noelle, you were mentioning an impulse with a woman named Mrs. Vandeveer. Do you want to tell us about that?
I could tell about Mrs. Vandeveer. I was a third grader, and I was 8 years old, and it was a beautiful spring Sunday. And I walked home early from church, and on the way home, went by a neighbor who raised ducks, and he gave me 2 duck eggs. And said, take these home, they're fine for baking with, and your mother can make a good cake with them. Well, I carried the brown duck eggs in my hand, and I thought, yes, they'd be fine for making it. And round to the corner to my house and came up to my neighbor's home. Now, this particular woman was elderly, and she had a daughter living with her. She had an antique black car that sat in her driveway, of which she was quite proud. She had lace curtains on all of her windows, and it, gee, I'm old, but even when I was a kid, we didn't use lace curtains like that anymore in our house windows. But she kept them, and she always looked through them. And there was the dining room window to the side of our house, and she would always watch as we came up the driveway to go in the kitchen door and back again. And here was a Sunday, sunny day, a duck egg in each hand, and there she was, behind the lace curtain, just her nose peeking between the 2 panels. And I looked at her, and I took the eggs, one in my right hand and one in my left, and went splat, splat on each panel of the curtain, each side of the nose. And then I ran. I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran all the way to the Clow Hills Park, which is blocks away. And I hid under a bush. Why, I don't know. Sat there for a long time and decided that I had to go home. And I went home. And I went in the house, and my parents very quietly told me that, yes, the neighbor had called, and she was very upset, and that I would have to go clean the window. And everything seemed fine, and I knew it was clean a window, okay, I would go clean a window. But that was really the most painful part of all, and my parents were quite wise. They knew that was going to be painful, and they didn't have to scold or say anything. I willingly went over and cleaned the window, but after I began, it wasn't willing, because I was on one side of that glass, of the window. And on the other side, 2 lace curtains and a nose between and someone looking. And I would scrub and wash to get egg off, which by this time had cooked on and was really quite hard to get off. And she'd tap up in the right-hand corner, tap, 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 clean up here now. And I'd clean that spot, tap, 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 clean down here now. And I was captive to a person I didn't want to be captive
to. But did you ever regret having thrown him in the first place?
Never.
That's often the way it is with impulse.
But I regretted, never regretted having done it, but I regretted having put myself in that position because it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But she still needed the eggs in her window.
Demi, you followed an impulse a while back when you lost your room at college in the spring, and I said, well, what are you going to do about another room, and what did you say?
I said I'd live in a tent, and then once I'd said it, I decided it was a good idea, so I did. And I think it was the nicest 6 weeks I had at school.
Where'd you pitch the tent?
Well, it's a campus that has a lot of wilderness around it. And so I just found various places. And
now, I suggested that for safety, that she didn't make a permanent camp where everybody would know she was, but that she should be a gypsy and change her spot every night.
And put it out at night and pick it up in the morning.
So you go gypsying.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you live on nuts and berries pretty much, too?
Tinned sardines and crackers.
So that she lived at school in her tent. A couple of impulse incidents that I've always enjoyed, I think that they are desire to break from routine. We suddenly impulsively do something when we're could be boredom or routine. My father had a dairy, and one day we got all sorts of telephone calls that the milk was not being delivered. And it happened to be on the route of a milkman who had only one arm. We called him the one-armed milkman. And it was, so we couldn't figure this out, and I happened to be there and went downtown with my father, and we went along the route, and he had delivered his milk up to a certain point, and then he had just vanished. The one-armed milkman had disappeared, and we couldn't find him, and we went up and down the streets, and we telephoned the police to see if there'd been an accident, and telephoned the hospital, and no sign of the one-armed milkman. Finally, we found him. And he was delivering milk, but what had happened is he had gotten to a certain corner on his route and had decided that he was tired of delivering it the same old way, and he went to the end of his route and began to go backwards. So that was those people in the middle that had not yet got their milk and were used to getting it at a certain time.
We had that with the boys having paper routes, the same kind of a problem. They'd deliver a different way, and so people wouldn't get it on time and they'd think they didn't have it. And that really does that. people get to expect when things will happen. And if you impulsively change it,
then you have the consequences to answer
right.
for sometimes.
That's right.
There's a poem I love, which I wasn't able to find for the program, but I will tell you about it because it was such an impulsive thing. It was about the man was writing about a summer job he had painting the guardrails on highways and how hot it was and how annoying it was to have those cars zip, zip, zip right behind you, you know, nearly hitting your rump all along. And of course, it's not the car people's fault that you build up an anger against them, but still it would mushroom that you were in this position. And finally, one of the men that was on the job with him dipped his paintbrush in the white paint, turned around, stood on the edge of the road, held the paintbrush out at just the proper level, and as the cars zipped by, painted a white stripe down each car as it went by until the foreman or the boss or somebody grabbed him and got him away, and then he was fired, of course. But I don't think he ever regretted standing there and painting the sides of each of those cars. Well, have we any other impulse stories that... oh, I know one, Demi.
Yeah, the one with your parents?
Oh, yes, the time that my parents went downtown on an errand, and they didn't come back, and they didn't come back, and they didn't come back, and after a while, us kids began to wonder, and all of a sudden, we got a telephone call from Chicago, which was 100 miles away, and my parents said, oh, we suddenly had the impulse to come down and see, and they named some friends, and we were teenagers. We were big enough to stay overnight alone and to make our own meals and take care of ourselves, but I remember that we felt very disturbed and injured. Until we saw the funny side and began to laugh. Because, you know, parents aren't supposed to do things impulsively. Parents are supposed to be steady and dependable and where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. And to suddenly have your parents pick up and take off without even telling you, you know, this was very out of character.
That was a shock.
It was a shock, yeah. And one other, Demi, that you and I have talked about is a sort of a little impulse meter, a little test. Remember when I said to you when we were little, we would ask people, would you rather be ready and not go, or would you rather go and not be ready? And your response was?
I'd rather go and not be ready.
And you said, oh, that's easy, as if everybody would rather go and not be ready than rather not be ready and go. But I've asked a number of people, and I would say a good half of them say, oh, they would rather be all ready and then not get to go. Than
they
to
like the planning,
than to have to go and not be ready. In other words, they wouldn't want the impulsive suddenly going before they were ready.
Yeah.
They would rather have the disappointment of not going.
Rather Jason, be disappointed than embarrassed.
Yeah, Jason, would you rather be all ready and not go, or not be ready and go?
Well, I don't know. Depends on what it is.
Well, I guess that's a good way of depending on what it is. I think I would like to just be able to go. Going and seeing and trying something new is more important than always being ready for it.
Yeah, I would fall on that side. I would much rather be...
I don't want to miss an adventure I could have just because I didn't have my backpack.
And I think this is part of the whole thing, that impulse is adventure. And sometimes you regret it and sometimes you don't. So for our writing today, how about writing about an impulse that you had and you followed, and whether you were glad or whether you regretted it. Or you might write us about an impulse that was really strong, something that you wanted to do and then you didn't do it. And how did you feel after you didn't do it? Have you always wished that you had done it, or have you been glad that you didn't?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.